right, take your Bibles, turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. We're going to read responsively verses 26 through 33. Numbers chapter 13, verses 26 through 33. We will read responsively. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Numbers chapter 13, and we will read responsibly. I'll read, and then you read, and so forth. Numbers 13, verses 26 through 33. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou hast sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants of sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we are in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we are in sight." I'm going to read one more verse in Hebrews chapter 13. You can turn to it or look at it later. But Hebrews 13, 19 says, Hebrews chapter 3, I'm sorry, verse 19, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you, and we thank you for this time, Lord. And Lord, I do ask you to come upon me, Holy Spirit. I pray you give me clarity this morning, give me thought. I pray, God, that you touch hearts this morning, Holy Spirit. I pray everything would be said or done would be for your glory. Pray, Lord, that you lift hearts this morning. I pray you'd encourage those who need to be encouraged, and lift up those who maybe have fallen and stumbled. And Lord, I pray that you just meet with us in a special way today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. They entered in because they entered not in because of unbelief, the Bible says. I'm going to read that verse in Hebrews one more time. Hebrews chapter 3:19 says, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Unbelief is a giant, is a weight, and obviously was to the children of Israel here. Unbelief is the attitude or state of mind that does one that does not believe. I say that again. Unbelief is the attitude or state of mind of one that does not believe. Unbelief says it can't be done. It is impossible. All things are possible with God. Amen. Nothing's impossible for God. Unbelief says, "I can't." Unbelief says, "We can't." Unbelief says it just does not work. I've heard it said before, whenever I attempted or went and decided to do something, whether I started a bus route, I had it said when I started a new bus route back in Maine, "Pastor, you got to understand, going into that town, you don't understand, there was some devil worship in this town, there was a lot of satanic oppression, there's a lot of Catholics." Catholics are everywhere, but I've heard it said by great men, even some good, solid Christian men, "You know, Pastor, you sure you want to go in there? I think it's a little bit difficult. I don't think you can do it." Well, I said, the truth of the matter is I can't do it, but I know the one who can. And I believe that we, in a joint effort, with God's help, could go in and start this bus route. I've had it said when I came to Massachusetts, "Well, you know, tough down there." Well, it was tough in Maine, too, where I worked for many years as an assistant pastor. There were cold hearts there, too, as well as we have here. But I've had it said, you know, that you go to Massachusetts, it's a little bit tough down there. Liberalism has set in. Hey, I might just go ahead and say this. Liberalism has set in about everywhere we go. But it still can be done, because all things with God are possible, the Bible teaches. Unbelief is that vehicle that takes one to veer away from truth. The truth is God. Unbelief is that I can't do it. I don't believe it can be done. We can't do it. And it literally takes us away from truth. The Bible teaches that the truth is God. John 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In John 1:1, the Bible says, the word was with God and the word was God. So God is truth. So unbelief is that vehicle, if you will, that takes you away from God's will, the truth. You know, God has a plan for you, but there's going to be somebody, namely the devil, or there's going to be some critic, namely whoever it may be in your life, or some enemy, or someone that says, it can't be done. You can't live the Christian life. You can't be what God wants you to be. Hey, you know, I had it said, and I believed it for a little while. When I was a young man, you know, I told you it took me 10 years to go through house errands in college. I went back and forth, and back and forth. And after a while, I got to a point where I don't think I can do this. And the truth of the matter is, I couldn't do it. And the truth of the matter is, whatever you're trying to attempt to do, if you're doing it in your flesh, it's going to be very difficult to do. But you know what? If you do it with the Holy Spirit of God, you can do it. You can walk with God. You can have a family that lives for the Lord. You can teach your children the Bible. You can be in your place Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But so many people say, well, you can't live up to them expectations. You can't live up to God's standard. No, you can't do it by yourself. But with God, all things are possible. You know, I love that short little verse, and it's one of my life's verses, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Boy, we ought to go ahead, if you don't know it, very simple verse to know, you ought to go ahead and hide that in your heart and say, you know what? No, I can't go ahead and do this, but I can do it with God. I can't go ahead and pay my bills unnecessarily on the money that I make, but you know what? If I trust God with my money, you know, I can do it with God. I can't go ahead and be all that I can be in my own flesh, but I can go ahead and be what God wants me to be with God. I can rely upon the Holy Spirit of God. I can be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Unbelief is that vehicle that veers you away from the will of God, that veers you away from God, from truth, if you will. Here, the children of Israel, they were at the border of the promised land. God told them, the promised land, it is yours to possess. Yes, it's going to take a little bit of effort to get there. And the children of Israel knew it. They felt it too. The Red Sea and the battles and different things like that. They faced many, many struggles, if you will. But you know what God said when they were back in Egypt? Hey, let me tell you something. There's a land there. I want you to have it. It's going to take a little bit to get there. But you know what? It's yours if you want it. Here, the children of Israel, they're at the border of the promised land. Moses, that great leader, he's probably the greatest leader of all, if you will. He led 3.5 million people through the wilderness. Can you imagine that? 3.5 million. By the way, it wasn't farmland. You know, I'm kind of used to farmland. I like farmland when it's flat and it's all field, if you will. It was not farmland. It was wilderness. It was rugged terrain. Israel not only took their families, but they took their flocks and their sheep and their cattle with them. On this incredible journey, there was no water. There was no ready food supply. They couldn't just go ahead and say, well, you know what, honey, I need to go to Walmart. No, that wasn't going to happen out there in the wilderness. I need to go to Stop and Shop. No, that was not going to go ahead and happen out there in the wilderness. There was no ready food supply. There was no farms or stores that they could just go and say, hey, could I go ahead and buy some vegetables off from you? There was no sanitation treatment plants. There was no irrigation ditches. There were no hospitals, nothing but wilderness. Boy, ladies, imagine that trip. Think about it. Maybe I just shouldn't just say this to the ladies. Let's all go ahead and consider that trip. You know. Let me just say that we do have it very good in America, don't we? We have it very good in America. But I can imagine they had to have been looking forward to that land that God says is going to flow with milk and honey, and the fruit was going to be huge, and it was going to be a wonderful place. It pictures a victorious Christian life. I can imagine they were looking forward to this as they were going through the trip and through the wilderness and the rugged terrain and having to go through different situations and so forth. I can imagine how Moses must have felt in leading God's people. I guarantee you, Moses, man, I can't wait to get there. You know, and when they went ahead and faced the children of Israel, when they faced battle after battle, I can imagine as they were traveling them months, if you will, saying, man, I can't wait to get there. And how often they did complain. We heard them murmur. We heard the story, they murmur, they complain against Moses. Oh, we should have gone and stayed in Egypt and so forth. They'd whine and bellyache, if you will. But through it all, boy, you know what? God went ahead and took good care of them. Moses, I can imagine, may have felt overwhelmed with the responsibility of leading these people, the weariness that he had to go through, the challenges of meeting the needs of the people. This was no easy task. But you know what? Let me just say this. The Christian life is no easy task. It's not an easy life, if you will. But boy, it's rewarding. It's joyous. It's exciting. You know what? If you're not excited about your Christianity this morning, boy, I want to encourage you. You know what? You may need to go back to that day. You know what? How often when I go through the battle, when I go through struggles, and we all go through them, there's some of you here this morning, no doubt you're kind of going through a valley and so forth, but you know what? I ought to encourage you. You ought to go back to the day that you were saved. Maybe it was around a kitchen table. Maybe it was out on your porch. Some soul winner knocked on your door. Maybe it was a church service that came forward and you got saved. Boy, you know what? That's encouraging right there. You know what? Maybe you're in the valley this morning. Maybe you're down this morning. Maybe you don't see the end of the road. Maybe you just don't know if there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but you're a little discouraged this morning. Boy, I want to encourage you. You ought to go back to that day that you were sweetly saved, that you realize that you were a sinner. You realize that there was a price on sin and that Jesus, through his love, he died on that cross to give you eternal life. Hey, go back to that day. That ought to encourage you. No, I'm not saying it'll go ahead and take away all your problems. There's going to be struggles through this life. There are struggles in the Christian life, if you will. But you know what? There's no time to quit. You just keep on going forward. You just keep on looking ahead. Don't you get to that point of unbelief as the children of Israel did. Hey, they were the children of God, yet they didn't think it could be done. We're going to see that in just a moment. Moses led these 3.5 million people to cross over the Red Sea. God showed his miraculous power there. You know, if you remember the story, they came to the Red Sea. They started whining and complaining. You know, and Moses was a little bit, well, what's going to happen here? And God says, take that rod, put it up over the sea there, and watch the sea go ahead and part. They crossed on dry land, and the Egyptian army was coming back. And you know what? Moses said, hey, you know what? You're going to see the salvation of the Lord. You ain't seen nothing yet. And surely, I think what a sight that must have been. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I hope some of these stories are on video up in heaven. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I want to see some of these things, man. I know I'd be excited. I tell you what, Hollywood, when they make their biblical movies, it ain't nothing compared to the real thing, amen. I hope God has that holy, I don't know if it will. Don't misunderstand me. Don't go home and say, well, the preacher thinks it's going to be a big cinema up there and see all these stories. I kind of hope it is. I can't go to one here, so I may as well go ahead and see the real events of the Bible in action, amen? But the truth of the matter is, you know, the Egyptian army coming behind them, and the sea before them, and Moses takes that rod of God, puts it over the sea, and that Red Sea goes ahead and parts. They cross over in dry land. They saw the salvation of God. They saw how good God is. The Egyptian army was devoured by the waves the next morning. The children of Israel, as they after they crossed Red Sea, they had more battles. They had more battles. But you know what? Every single battle that they went through, they saw the mighty hand of God. Let me just stop and say this. You know what? Some of the battles, if you're not careful, go ahead and tell you it can't be done in the Christian life. It'll beat you down here. Sometimes you're in the valley. It's so easy to say, I don't know if it can be done. I don't know if I can keep on going. I don't think I can go ahead and keep on going. Let me tell you something. With God, all things are possible. You got to cast that heavy burden upon the Lord, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Hey, you know what? Just like the children of Israel, God's not a respecter of persons. If he can go ahead and take care of 3.5 million people, he can take care of you. He can take care of you this morning. The children of Israel, they saw the mighty hand of God through and through. God took very good care of them. God went ahead and fed them. God went ahead and gave them water to drink. He clothed them. He supplied every need. Why? Because he loved them. And just the same love that God had for them people, that same love is for you this morning. He wanted them to have better than the world, than Egypt. They were slaves back in Egypt, which is a type of the world. And you know, God brought them out, and he wanted them to have better. He wanted them to go ahead and have that land flowing with milk and honey, which pictures the victorious Christian life. He wanted them to go ahead and have the best, but they would not because of an evil report, as we see in just a moment, as we read about. They would not because of their unbelief. They could not enter because of their unbelief. You know, God knows the steps that you take. God knows where you are this morning, and you might be right there, kind of like you've heard the reports. You might have heard that cancer report. You might have heard that about that illness that maybe has come upon you. You might have gone ahead, you know, I have a very close loved one who's going through it this morning. Saw him the other day. I'll say it because they're dear to me. My dad. My dad, you know, there may be a possibility he's going to have some tests, but his count was very high that he may have prostate cancer. And, you know, this morning I'm encouraged because, you know why? Because he's encouraged. He was down here a couple days ago. He brought the hay down. I had no, you know, I thought everything, you know, same old, you know, he's chipper and excited and says, man, I wish, you know, he's kind of saying, I wish the weather would stop because he's got a lot of hay to go ahead and cut. He's behind on hay, and took him for a little ride and got to talk to him a little bit. And he says, I just want you to know that there's a possibility. The doctor says right now there's a possibility of it. There's some tests that he may have prostate cancer. I would ask you to pray. But you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, you couldn't really tell it. You know what? I can't help but think, and I've lived with it in our household with breast cancer with my wife, and I know that, you know, if you're going through something like that, I know that in your heart of hearts, there's a valley there. You know, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? He knew that there was a way out. He believed there's a way out. He's just trusted in the Lord. You know what? He wasn't going to sit there, well, I just don't know what's going to, you know, it's just no use. I may as well just go ahead and quit. No. He says, you know what? He basically said with his demeanor, with his smile, and he did say this, we're going to get through this. Don't exactly know how, but we're going to go ahead and get through this. Hey, you know what? There was no unbelief, if you will, in my dad, and I thank God that he didn't say that, well, you know, it's no use, Sean. I may as well just go ahead and sit back. No. I thank God for his character. I thank God for his desire to go ahead and live and desire to go ahead and keep going and do whatever he can to get himself better. You know, our journey, as it is with my dad, if you will, I know it's a little personal this morning for a moment, but our journey will not always be easy. You're going to face some battles. You're going to face some giants, if you will, along the way. You're going to go ahead and face some things, but I just want you to know this morning there is a way out. With God, all things are possible. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know whether you're suffering a job loss. I don't know whether there's more month than minute money. I don't know necessarily, you know, you call me and you ask me to pray about things and you shared your heart with me, but I don't know everything that you're going through this morning, but God does. And before you get to that point where I'm going to take this microphone, the black one, I think, or black, of course, you know, but we have a little color code up here. But I don't know what you're going through, but let me tell you something. Don't you get down so much down here, and if you get down here and you stew and you stew and you stew, you know what? Unbelief will set in. If you go ahead and fail to look at the big picture, look at the Christian life that God has given you, look at the deliverance that he gave you, you know what? He saved you. He saved you from hell, if you will. But if you're not careful, even the best of Christians, they'll get down the valley and say, it's just no use. And it gets to a point where I just don't think it can be done anymore. You know, you got to be very, very careful of that giant or that enemy, if you will, or that weight of unbelief. God knows right where you are this morning. The devil may whisper and say, God, don't believe God. God doesn't really know. Oh, yes, he does know. And when the old devil goes ahead and whispers in your ear, when he goes ahead and lies to you and say, God doesn't know anything about you. He doesn't care. He's forgotten about you. You just go ahead and you kick him one and say, you know what? My God shall supply all my needs. His grace is sufficient for me. I know that he's going to take, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm going to be confident in this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hey, my confidence is going to be in God. It's not going to be in the flesh. It's not going to be in the devil. It's not going to be in the world. Hey, I'm going to keep my confidence in God. Our passage, they arrived to the promised land. Took them about 16 months. Think about it. It wasn't really a long journey at this particular time. 16 months to get to the border of the promised land. They were there. When they heard when they were enslaved in Egypt, no doubt they heard about the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. Finally, they had arrived to the homeland of their ancestors, and what an opportunity they had at hand. They were there, the Bible says, teaches right here. At the border, God told Moses, you appoint 12 spies. Numbers 13, 1 through 6, you'll see all of them that he appointed, if you will. The rulers, take one from each tribe. There were rulers. There, no doubt there were strong leaders, if you will. He says, you appoint 12 spies to go in the land and check it out. And then you come back and you bring a report. 12 men.
12 men, one from each tribe. They're probably the strongest leaders, perhaps even the godliest leaders. Yet 10 of them, 10 disrupted God's plan. 10 of them went ahead and disrupted God's plan. I can imagine before they went in, I think maybe they all were, even these 12 spies, they were all excited. I don't know if they necessarily saw everything they were going to go ahead and face in there, but you know what? The children of Israel, they're at the border of the promised land. I think, boy, we are here. I think they were there. They couldn't wait to get there. Boy, 40 days, them spies went in there to spy out the land. They saw the grapes. They went ahead and they put them, that fruit, if you will, on a staff. They were so big that they had to go ahead and have one on a couple on one end and another on the other end. Them grapes of fruit was exactly what God said. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was exactly what God said. Hey, everything that God had promised. But you know, they faced some giants in there. The cities were walled. There were some battles in there. They got there, and 40 days they spied it out, and I could see outside the border there, the children of Israel, they were excited. Boy, we are here. They couldn't wait. I think maybe they might have been counting down the days and 40 days, 39, 38, 37. I can't wait. Man, we're here. You know, when we get back, we're going to be able to enter into the promised land. We're going to be able to get to the land that God has promised us. I don't think personally they were expecting some of the things that they were going to hear, though. They were thinking about how great it's going to be to enter that land. I think maybe their faith, I know obviously you read the Old Testament, you read about their journey, how some of their faith wavered, how often they murmured against Moses and complained whenever a battle came and so forth. By the way, we can be that way too, can't we? You know what? We get to a point where we start murmuring against God. This isn't fair. My job I thought was secure, now it's gone. And God, this isn't fair. You know what? We got to be very careful with that kind of attitude. We'll start blaming God. We'll start blaming God's man. We'll start blaming the church. We'll start blaming the Word of God. We'll start thinking that the Word of God is not true. We'll start unbelieving, if you will. Living in that giant of unbelief will cause you, or keep you from fulfilling God's plan for your life. No, by the way, you can't lose your salvation, but you got to be careful of that giant of unbelief, because it happened to the children of Israel. It happened to the children of Israel, God's people here. No doubt they were thinking about how wonderful it's going to be. Boy, they were counting down the days. Their faith, no doubt, was renewed. Boy, we made it. God gave us, brought us to the land that He promised. He fulfilled His promise. They, no doubt, they were reflecting back on the journey. Maybe families there, they were sitting, boy, God sure has been good. Maybe some of the same families that were complaining early on, but boy, once they got there, they realized, wow, boy, that's pretty land over there. I can't wait till the spies get, hey, children, hey, wife, hey, let's gather around. We're going to go ahead and sing some praises to God. They were excited. They were excited. Boy, you know what? In just a few more days, they're going to cross on over into the promised land. When the spies arrived, the people were excited. I can imagine, boy, that last day, boy, they marked it off their calendar, if you will, and they crossed over, and they were excited. Oh, they're here. Hey, the 12 spies are here. All by name there in the first part of Numbers and chapter 13. They're all here, and they gathered around. And our text tells us what they reported. The spies said in verse number 26, I'll read a few verses. They went and came to Moses. They came back from the journey that after 40 days, that spying out the land. They came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them. Now all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. I can imagine, boy, they're excited. Boy, the smiles. Boy, the anxiousness, if you will. Whoo, this is going to be good. Boy, I have no doubt they're strong leaders. They're the godly leaders. They're probably top out of their tribe. Certainly they're going to go ahead and say this can't be done. Certainly we're going to be able to hear a good report, and we're going to go in there, and we're going to be in the land that God promised us. Hey, you know what? And they said, yeah, the land's flowing with milk and honey. Boy, the grapes there, the Bible says, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. They brought back some evidence. Hey, this is the fruit of it. Look at these grapes. Boy, they're huge, and it's flowing with milk and honey. Boy, everything that God has promised, it's true. But what the Bible says here, in verse number 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea, by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. You know what? But they say nevertheless, or but, if you will. But this is the way it is. Oh yeah, the land's flowing with milk and honey. The fruit is huge. Right here is the fruit of it. We have evidence of it. But you know what? The people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled. We got to deal with the children of Anak. Boy, they're big. They're giant. We got to deal with the Amalekites of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites. They dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. We're going to be surrounded by enemies. I don't know if we ought to go in there. And I can just imagine the children of Israel, boy, them 40 days. They were there. They were right at the border, and they were excited. Boy, we are here. We are at the promised land. We are here. Boy, certainly them 40 days is going to go ahead, and they're going to come back after 40 days, them spies, and they're going to give us a good report, and we're going to go in there, and we're going to live, so to speak, happily ever after. And the Bible says that they heard that report. I can maybe see the grins and the, yes, yes, they gather, yes, yes, wow, yeah, the fruit, whoa, that's cool. Hey, honey, look at that. Boy, you know what, look at the grape jam you can make with them grapes. Woo, you know, they were excited. It's all right, we can laugh, amen. It's the only thing I could think of, all right? I don't know what else you make with grapes. I know they're good to eat. But you know, the truth is, after they heard the report, once they heard the nevertheless, you know, them smiles kind of, you know, they were, oh, wow. Oh. The Bible says here, and Caleb stilled the people. I think maybe perhaps there was a calmness there at the initial time of the report. But then all of a sudden, there might have been an uproar. There might have been some anxiousness. There might have been some weeping, some crying, and some wailing, if you will. And the Bible says that the man of God, Caleb, by the way, one of the two real solid men of God that went in there. Caleb, the Bible says, that's Caleb and Joshua. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. Oh, you know what? They heard the report. Nevertheless, all this is going to happen. Boy, you know what? We got to fight these enemies. We're going to be surrounded by them. They heard the bad report. But you know what? I love the fact that a man of God set up. Guess what? You know what? Yeah, that's going to be there. But you know what? We're able to go ahead and overcome it. You know why? Because the Bible says that Caleb was a man who wholly followed the Lord. You know, he was a man of God. He saw the Red Sea. He remembered the Red Sea. You know, by the way, he was not one that forgot about the blessings of God. You know, the trouble was most of these folks, sir, they forgot about the blessings of God through the wilderness. They forgot about the quail. They forgot about the manna. They forgot about the clothing. They forgot about how God went ahead and provided for their needs and provided and provided and provided. But the truth of the matter is, I believe there was a man of God here, Caleb, and another one, Joshua. They didn't forget about all that God did for them, just like God went ahead and got them through the wilderness. You know, Caleb was the kind of man that said, you know, we're able to overcome it. You know why? Because we have God. You know what? God knew a majority. You know what? The world has nothing on God. The devil has nothing on God. You may feel like you're undefeated. You may be defeated right now. You may be down right now. You might be right at the border and say, I don't think I can do this. But don't you forget, with God, all things are possible. Don't you go ahead and fail to advance in God's plan or God's will because you think that you can't, because someone said it can't be done. Someone said it, you can't run that bus route. Someone said you can't raise your family for God. Someone said that you can't live for God. Someone says that you can't live clean and pure. Don't you go ahead and get defeated. Don't you go ahead and quit on God's will. Don't you go ahead and not advance for the cause of Christ simply because someone said that you can't. Don't forget Philippians 4:13. Don't forget Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you shall perform until the day of Christ. Don't forget, with God all things are possible. Hey, you know what? They couldn't enter. They did not enter. Why? Because of their unbelief. Hebrews 3:19. I see once that evil report, if you will, came out, they explained the difficulty of entering the land. The countenance of the people fell. Changed from being glad to a very sad and fearful countenance. The Bible says here that Caleb, that man of God, stilled the people and said, you know what, we can possess it. I want that mountain, he said he says, because it belongs to me. He was a warrior, an old warrior, when it initially happened. He says right here, though, earlier, that we're able to overcome it. Boy, I like Caleb and his faith. I like his vision. I like the we can do it kind of attitude and not the we can't. He was a man who wholly followed the Lord. That's why he said we could do it. That's why he said that they could do it. The other men, if you will, stepped and said, oh, no, we can't do this. The Bible says in verse number 31, but the men that went up and said with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land though which we had gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. They're big, and we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. You know what? They stepped in and said, we can't do this. They're stronger than us. Hey, you know what? They forgot about God and all his provision. They went ahead and they forgot about how good God had been through them through the wilderness, the battles they fought, the Red Sea. You know, hey, you know what? Ten men that went ahead and brought that evil report, you know what? You should have rose above that. You should have gone ahead and said, hey, you know what? Like a Joshua and a Caleb said, we can go ahead and defeat them giants. We are an army of men and women. We are God's people. We have God on our side. Hey, we're going to go in there and defeat them. But 10 men's report went ahead and took 3.5 million's demeanor and attitude, if you will, and say, oh, we can't do this. They got fearful. Caleb said, but we can. Caleb knew where the strength lies. He didn't have a defeatist attitude like the 10 other spies. You know what belief is? You know, stop being unbelieving. Stop saying, well, I can't grow in the Christ. I can't keep going. I don't know. I can't. You know what belief is? Belief is in Apostle Paul when he was on the heading for Rome, and he was shipwrecked by a Euroclydon, a big Mediterranean storm. And as that sea was tearing down that ship and breaking that ship, and all 276 people were on there, you know, they were fearful and so forth. But here's a man of God through the battle, through the storm. You know what he says? I believe God. Acts chapter 27. I believe God. You know what belief is? It's three Hebrew boys when they would not go ahead and bow down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar because they were not going to go ahead and worship any other god but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Nebuchadnezzar said, why wouldn't you go ahead and bow down? He says, because we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But you know, who's going to deliver you? You know, if God doesn't go ahead and deliver us, we're going to go ahead and we're going to serve God anyways. They were put in the fiery furnace. That's what belief is. They believe God. If not, we're going to go ahead and serve God, they said. The Bible says, we're not careful to answer you in this matter, King. We're going to go ahead and serve him. We're going to go ahead and bow down to the King of Kings. And we're not going to bow down to your idol. But you know what? Hey, Hebrew boys, you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. God will take care of us. You know, that's what belief is. You know what belief is? It's a young man, David, who said, is there not a cause? He said, you know what, you're not going to, he looked at that big giant Goliath and said, you're not going to defy God. You're not going to make fun of my God. If these other guys, Saul, who was head and shoulders above the rest, who should have had the courage to fight, and his older brothers won't go ahead and fight, and the army won't go ahead and fight. You know what, this teenage lad said, you know what, I'll go ahead and fight you, goon. I'll go ahead and take you down. Hey, my God's able to take care of you. I'm going to go ahead and go in the name of God. And you know what, that's what belief is. That's what belief is. Belief is someone that is struck with cancer and has a cancer report, says, I'm going to go ahead and get through this. Belief in God is one that may have lost a job, doesn't see how all the finances are going to go ahead and be met, but they're faithful to God. They're in their place. They're doing what God wants them to do, and they keep on believing God. That's what belief is. Hey, we need some people today not to be discouraged by some evil report. It can't be done. Living right can't be done. Having a godly family can't be done. Going to church can't be done. Reading a Bible can't be done. Hey, what we need is a revival of people today that says, I believe God. I believe God. Hey, that's what we need. We need people that won't go ahead and be defeated. We need people who won't go ahead and quit. We need people who go ahead and say, when they face the Red Sea of their life, God says, go forward. Go forward. That's what we need. But you know, unbelief came upon all the people because of 10 men. It brought fear. It brought sadness. They complained against Moses. They would have preferred to go back to Egypt and be enslaved and whipped and not enjoy the freedoms of God. How is it that they would prefer that? I think a lot of it simply is because they forgot their lack of faith. They forgot how good God has been. That's when belief happens, when you forget. You know, you think about everything that God has done for you from the day you got saved till now. You know what? I don't believe, if we're all honest this morning, there's not a one of us that can say, well, this is a raw deal. I don't believe that. If you can say that the Christian life's a raw deal, you know, you may want to search your salvation, check it out. But when you think about it, from the very day that you got saved to now, and yes, you've had the valleys, you've had the mountaintops, you've had the valleys and so forth, you can always look back and say, boy, God is faithful. God has been good. You know, I won't take time, but you know, we went through cancer in our home. We all know the story, most of you. Breast cancer struck my wife in 2006. Deepest valley that I've ever faced in my life. And yeah, I told a little story how I got a little bit discouraged. I got a little bit down. I kind of had, I can't believe this, God. Serving you full time. I'm a youth pastor, overseeing 5 bus routes and seeing people saved and all, you know, all this. God, I don't understand all this. And you know, I have to admit my faith was shaken a little bit. You know, I thank God for a godly wife that when she was cancer stricken, and this is no joke, this is no, boy, you can, she may not admit it because of her humility. She says, I'm not going to let this get the best of me. She went through it all, and you know what? Her faith was stronger for a period. Her faith was stronger than mine. And you know what? Her faith strengthened mine. You know, when you feel like your faith is weak, you know what you ought to do? Get yourself around people whose faith is strong. Church. I happen to believe that I'm around some of the most strongest faith people, if you will, in this area today. You know what? Church encourages me. You know, you say, well, you're the preacher. How can, you know, no, I get encouraged. You know what? Well, I sometimes have a spell when I'm back there looking at this book. You know, if you only knew some of the things that happens in my office, amen, I get excited. You know, and I love church. I love being around the people of God. I look forward to Sunday morning. I look forward, you know what? And there are times, and I think any preacher in America would say there are times that, you know, a preacher can stand behind the pulpit and being human as we all are, sometimes we kind of, whoa, the weight gets heavy. Sometimes you wonder. Let me tell you something. There are days when I come to the pulpit, say, God, you got to give me strength, and he does. But you know what? God also allows the faith of my people to strengthen me. You know what? Your faith may be shaken this morning, but you know what? You ought to get yourself around people who you know is going to encourage you for the Lord, who's going to strengthen your faith instead of. And this is where the mistake happens. This is where the trouble happens. We normally start, well, we kind of start putting our guard down and we start hanging around the crowd that says, well, I kind of told you so, didn't I? The church thing really didn't seem to pan out, did it? And you know in your heart of hearts that it has and it will. But that kind of influence is going to get you to a point where people will wonder, as I've said before, whatever happened to so-and-so? They used to be so faithful in their spot. They used to be so faithful in that ministry. But the truth of the matter is some unbelief set in. And instead of getting to people of faith, if you will, to help strengthen you, you know what? The majority of these spies said, no, it can't be done. But you know what? I would have listened to the minority of them and said, you know what? The ones that can, it can be done. You know what? Sometimes when you feel like you're at the end of your road, you know what? You need to get to that preacher. You need to get to that Sunday school teacher. You need to get on that phone and call someone who you know walks with God and who you know will go ahead and encourage you, and get around people of faith. Get around people that will pray with you. Get around people that will go ahead and lift you up and so forth. The giant of unbelief went ahead and brought them to a point. They faced that giant of unbelief, which brought them to a point of 40 more years of wandering. A death of a whole generation. They could have had the freedom in the promised land, but that giant of unbelief brought forth unnecessary heartaches. Now listen, if your faith is shaken, you get to the point, you get to that wall, if you will, you get to that valley, and someone says it can't be done, and you go ahead and you believe that, okay, it can't be done. You know what? It's not just going to affect you, but it's going to affect them little ones that's in your home. They see mom and daddy, your face shaking. They see mom and daddy that church is not that important to you. They see mom and daddy that the word of God's not important to you. They see mom and daddy or leader or preacher, whoever it may be, some godly authority and so forth, that's not all important to you. You know what? It's no wonder why we have a faithless generation today. Because we've gone ahead and we've turned from the things of God. You know what? And I've said it before. We live in a free country. I thank God for our country. And we were a country founded on biblical principles. We were a country that at one time had our face pointing towards God. But today, I feel like man, we're a country that's just totally going the opposite direction. Producing a faithless generation. Look at the generation of young people today. It's very hard to find a generation of young people that's excited about 12 kids that, like 12 kids that went to a youth conference a week or so ago, came back excited about the things of God. You know, it's very, very hard to find that kind of young people today. And the truth of the matter is, I thank God from Christian moms and daddies who support their decisions about going to church and reading their Bible and walking with God as a family and living with godly principles. And when the battles come and when the trials come, you're not going to get shaken. Hey, you know, I'm going to go ahead and be in church because I know I'll be encouraged by the preaching of the Word of God. I know I'm going to hang around Christian fellowship that's going to help strengthen my faith and so forth. And I thank God for a generation. I thank God for mamas and daddies who say, hey, you know what? You know what? We may be down here. We may have illness in the family. We may have this happening, but you know what? We're not going to go ahead and give up on God. And you know what? Because you're a faith mama and daddy, because you're a faith preacher, because you're a faith deacon, because you're a faith Sunday school teacher, you're going to have a part in raising another generation for the cause of Christ. I say, and I say it again, I believe strongly in America. And I know that we can go ahead and see revival, but we've got to be reaching that next generation for Christ. We've got to be living right. We've got to be raising up the standard. We've got to stick with the old paths. Hey, don't let unbelief, that giant of unbelief, take you down, because if it takes you down, godly leader, it's going to take down that next generation, just like it did to the children of Israel. It destroyed another generation. Don't let unbelief keep you from having the joys of the Christian life. This is fun. Being in church today, I don't know about you, I'm having a great time. You know, out yesterday and talking to people about our church, I had a fun time yesterday. Later on, I went out, did some door knocking. I had a fun time going to see my bus kids. You know what one of them bus kids said last week? New bus kids. The youngest of three new bus kids that I signed up a couple weeks ago. His name's Joey. He calls me Mr. Pastor Weeks. After I dropped him off last week, he goes, Mr. Pastor Weeks. Last Sunday, he said this, dropped him off. Mr. Pastor Weeks, when are you coming back again? You know what? I said, hey, Joey, we'll be back next Saturday, buddy. And I knew what this last Saturday was going to be like. It was going to be busy, but I, you know what? All week long, I thought of that one statement. Yesterday, as I was talking to people, I said, man, I got to get to that bus route. Because I promised a little boy who calls me Mr. Pastor Weeks, I'll be there. Knocked on his door yesterday, and boy, what a smile. You know what he said? He said you'd come. I did. I came. Give me a big hug. The truth of the matter is, you know what? We need to be busy reaching the next generation. Our unbelief, if we're not careful, it's like the children of Israel. Will cause us from advancing, will cause us from being what God wants, will cause us from following the will of God, therefore seeing another generation say, well, mom and daddy doesn't think it's that important, and that's what's happening today. Mom and dad doesn't think it's that important. Well, not that important when they get to be 20, 25 years old either. And that's how we're losing America. That's how we're losing our freedoms, by the way. Let me just give you a few thoughts. Unbelief causes us to lose focus on what God has for our life. That's what happened to the children of Israel here. You know, God wanted, do you think that God's not going to play mind games? I'm not going to say, well, you know what? He's not out there. Like, oh, you know, hey, let's say, Gabriel and Michael to get, hey, you know what? Let's go ahead and see. Let's watch it. You know, they're down there going through all that and so forth. And they're at the border, boy. You know, they think they're going to, you know, God ain't like that. You know, God, through his mighty hand, provided for them. And boy, I like to think maybe when they got to the border, God said, man, you're there. I think maybe he was excited for them. You're there. And Moses is doing what I asked him to do, to send in 12 spies. And you know, you stay there, they're going to come back. And of course, God knew in his mind that what the report and different things and so forth. But you're there, children of Israel. But unbelief kept them from going forward. Unbelief went ahead and destroyed God's plan, if you will, for such a time. Because of unbelief, it brings much more heartache than if we believed, lost a whole generation. Unbelief brings backsliding. The moment we believe that God cannot, it is the same moment we feel that he's never able to do anything for us. Therefore, we lose our trust in him. The moment that we say, well, it can't be done. The moment we start listening to the devices of the world or the old devil and the flesh saying, it can't be done. You know, that's the moment that we start retracting and going forward. We start falling back, and I'll fall in a bale of hay. But we start falling back. We start retracting, getting further away from God. And you know what? Once you start getting so far away from God, it's really hard to start really feeling him. You know, because you've grown cold. The Holy Spirit, yes, he indwells in you, but the truth of the matter is, every time that he tried to go ahead and work in your heart as you were starting to fall back, you know what? You threw water on him. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. He's trying to move in your heart and say, hey, you know what, don't you quit. But you know what, we've allowed Hollywood, we've allowed the devices of the world, we've allowed all these different things, say, it can't be done. And all the while, we're falling back, and we lose sight on God. We lose our faith in God, if you will. Unbelief obviously causes many not to get saved. I wonder if in this crowd of 3.5 million, maybe, there was any unsaved. They thought that, they went ahead, they looked at the children of Israel at this time, and they saw that their God can't care for them. Their God can't see them through. I wonder what it did for maybe one who was not saved, or one who whose faith was kind of shaken, if you will, already before this time. I wonder what would happen. Listen to me. You know what? Child of God, you know what? You have people all around you, maybe at work, maybe at school, all different places. They know you're saved. They see a spring in your step, but something happens, and all of a sudden you start kind of losing your faith in God. And you know what? That affects them. That affects the world. You know what? Because you're unbelievable. Well, God can't do it. You know what? They see you start going ahead and living like the world. They see you kind of, you used to not hang around their jokes. You used to not talk about their dirty stories and so forth. But you know what? You lost your faith. They knew you were there. They knew you were saved. You used to read your Bible, but somewhere along the way, some battles came. You got discouraged. The world looks in, says, well, you know what? Hey, you know what? He's saved. He knows for sure he's on his way to. He even said that. But you know what? They went through some battles. So, you know, if their God can't see them through, why do I even bother to trust Christ? That can and that will happen. You know, when I was, I won't belabor this point, when I was in Chicago working, I worked around some very worldly people. You know, and they knew who I was. They knew I was a Howard Harrison College student. They knew that I had the haircut. They knew I looked the look and everything. I read my Bible on break and so forth, and they'd laugh at me. Hey, there's Mr. Preacher Boy. And I'd go ahead and say thank you for the compliment. They'd go ahead and make fun of me and so forth and so on. And the truth of the matter is my faith never wavered. Let me tell you something. Three of them men after 3 years, you know what? Three of them, four or five men that would go ahead and make fun of me and laugh at me and mock me and so forth, they got saved. You know why? All three of them said after I had a chance to lead them to Christ, they said, you know what? We made fun of you, and you never wavered. You know what? A lot of people today, listen to me, their faith will get shaken simply because someone mocks them or scorns them. You know what? Let me tell you something. Jesus was mocked and scorned, and he kept on going to the cross. He kept on finished. He finished the job. The truth of the matter is, God has a job for you to do. God has something for you to do. Hey, Christian, don't you go ahead and start letting your testimony be destroyed simply because of unbelief. You heard some bad report. You don't think God can go ahead and see you through it, and therefore, the unsaved world looks at you and says, well, your God's not that big. Why do I even bother? Why should I even go ahead and follow you? Why should I even follow your God, if you will, and get saved? Why should I even go ahead and do that? Hey, unbelief may cause others to get the unsaved world not to get saved. You know, unbelief brings disloyalty. You know, the Bible says right here, and all the congregation lifted up their verse number, chapter 14, verse 1. After they heard that report, after, oh, it can't be done. This is just too strong. Look at this. All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They were weeping, they were crying, they were discouraged. They were excited at what, yes, you know, we're there. But they were weeping that night after their report. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation. There they go, whining, complaining again, starting the blame game and so forth. Right here, you'll see it. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God have we died in this wilderness? And wherefore, verse number 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us? Now, they not only started blaming Moses and Aaron, the man of God, but they said, you know what, God, this just isn't fair right here. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land? God, it's your fault. To fall by the sword? That wise that our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? You know, brought disloyalty. Brought disloyalty. You know what? There's so much disloyalty today. We got to be very careful. It's no wonder why we got a version of the month. They don't want to believe the real one. It's no wonder why people lose their faith, and so they don't want to believe where we can get the faith of the Word of God. Hey, it's no wonder why we have so many ways of salvation today. You go ahead and you live a good life, you'll get there. Oh, no, let me tell you something. For by grace are you saved through faith, out of not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't work hard enough to get me to heaven. You can't work hard enough to get me to heaven. You know, it was all finished on the cross. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, if you're trusting in what you can do, you know what? The Bible teaches that hell will be your eternal destiny. But when you trust in what Jesus did, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you realize you're a sinner. You realize there's a price on sin. Realize that Jesus paid that price, and you call upon him, and he saves you. You know what? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He'll save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, unbelief will bring disloyalty. It'll provide, you know, today we have so much disloyalty to the Word of God. We'll go ahead and look for new ways to get saved. The world looks for new ways to get saved. You do this, and you do this. It brought whining and complaining to the men of God. That's what unbelief did. It says God's way does not work. All right, and then number next, in our situations we face, we ought to trust Christ. Listen, and I'm through. Trust God this morning. Trust him. Trust him. Now, I don't know what it is. You know what? Your faith a little rattled this morning. It's been a long time since you come to the altar. You know what? You know, that might be the place you need to renew your trust this morning. Not saying getting re-saved. You can't get re-saved. Once you're saved, boy, I thank God. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life in ink. It can't be erased. I thank God for that. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? So many Christians quit the will of God simply because of unbelief. I did it. Your preacher did it. You know, I've been there, done that. You know, 10 years it took me to go through Bible college simply because there were times in my life I said, I can't do this. I can't do this. It's even a time through that period that the devil whispered in my ear and said, you know what, Sean, if God really wanted you to be a preacher, you know, it would have been a little easier. Just studying the story of the children of Israel knows that the Christian life is not an easy task. It's not easy, but it's rewarding. There's joy. You know, I thank God that I've learned some lessons, you know, through the years, as I know my faith has been shaken. Cancer shook my faith. My faith shaken through the early years of my going through Bible college and different things. I thank God that through the years I learned some lessons. Number one, I knew how to get a hold of God. I allowed them battles to teach me how to get a hold of God. Dr. Scott calls it pursuing God. Number two, I learned that, you know what? I learned how to go ahead and get around people whose faith was strong, that encouraged me. It helped strengthen me. You know what? You may be walking with God, but you know, you still may be a little rattled this morning, but maybe there's an absence of getting around God's people. Now, I'm encouraged by, you know, I'm saying I'm encouraged when I get around God's people. I'm very encouraged when I get around God's people, especially those that, man, preacher, man, this is great. God's been good. The VBS, and they're just excited about everything and the souls and everything. I thank God for those people that aren't critical and that don't get upset, that don't go ahead and backbite, if you will. They're the ones that encourage me. And the truth of the matter is, if you're not careful, you get around critical people, you get around people that say it can't be done, this, you know, why even go this way? The truth of the matter, it's no wonder you're discouraged. It's no wonder you get discouraged. I like hanging around the crowd that, boy, wasn't that great soul winning yesterday? Well, you know what? We got a few doors slammed in our face. You know what? I know that when you go soul, all of us who's ever gone soul winning, you get a door slammed in your face. I've left many a nose at a house. And I know it can be very discouraging. But, you know, I thank God for the one. I say, you know what? And I remember a time recently with Brother Joe. And, you know, just, man, just felt like just a cold day as far as soul winning. And, you know, he could tell, man, preacher, you okay? I said, yeah. He says, you know what? At least we went. At least we went. You know, I kind of refer to we goad. The Bible says go ye, goad. Okay, I know that's not the right term. But we went. The Bible says, go ye. It doesn't say, go ye, if you get somebody to say, go. You know, I got sitting there thinking, boy, I appreciate that. I thank God that my deacon was there to go ahead and encourage me. Says, well, you know what? Why even bother? You know, why even bother going so, you know, we got cussed out today. This, you know, why even bother? I thank God that his faith was strong. I thank God for the people that encourage who encourage me, and we need to encourage one another. And you know, God told Moses, they're at the border of the children of Israel, at the border of the promised land, picking out 12 people, one from each tribe, rulers in the tribes, no doubt strong leaders, probably perhaps the godliest, or they should know better. Send them into the land, which I have promised them. Have them spy out the land. 40 days they're there. They see everything that goes on. They saw the milk and honey. They saw the blessings and so forth, yet they saw the obstacles. All 12 men, and all the while, the children of Israel excited. Boy, they were just couldn't wait. Maybe they were counting down the days, as I alluded to before. They came back. Said, yeah, God said it was going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. God promised, everything that God promised, it's there. But nevertheless, it's tough. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled. There's all these obstacles. Two men, Caleb, namely one of them, stood up and said, yeah, there's some obstacles, but we can overcome it. The other 10 said, nah, they're too strong. We're not able to do this. I wonder if you're here this morning on that verge of unbelief this morning. Maybe you're listening to the 10 men. Maybe the 10 men, if so to speak, you're listening to the 10 men and you're kind of in your valley or there at a wall and say, you know what, I just don't think I can do it. Simply because it's been whispered in your ear that you can't. I'll encourage you to flip that coin over and listen to the two godly men. Listen to the Holy Spirit of God, if you will, and say, I can do all things through Christ. Cancer, I can do all things through Christ. I lost my job, I can do all things through Christ. My marriage a little bit shaky, I can do all things through Christ. I'm having some struggle in my ministry, I can do all things through Christ. This is happening, job situation, health, discouragement, I can do all things through Christ. I don't know where you're at this morning, but it might be this morning you need to go ahead before you go ahead and quit on God. And say, you know what, I'm going to renew my faith this morning. You know, you're not getting saved again. If you're here today, you need to be saved. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. You need to go ahead and know that you're on your way to heaven. But, child of God, before we become a statistic, as far as Christians, and once they hit that battle, that little battle, that big battle, and they get tired and weary and say,
I'm done. Why don't you this morning say, I'm going to renew my spirit. I'm going to renew my faith, if you will. God, it's you and me. I realize we are a majority, and I am not going to go ahead and quit. You know, I don't know where you are this morning, but I encourage you, whatever you need to do, why don't you go ahead and do business with the Lord? You may be here today, and I said it a moment ago, you don't know Jesus as Savior. Maybe here today you say, Pastor Weeks, I do not know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. Why don't you make today the day of salvation? If you don't have that peace and joy in your heart that you know 100% sure that you're going to heaven if you breathe your last breath today, why don't you go ahead and say, you know what, I want today to be the day. And if you're a man, we'll have a man show you from the Bible how you could be saved. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady show you from the Bible how you can be saved, and you can be a child of God today. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you. We do thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, even as I testified, this preacher testified, you know, God, there's been times in my life that I've been shaken. My faith has been a bit shaken. Situations has arisen, and I wondered, can I really keep going? But God, your grace always became sufficient. You always gave me the strength that I need. God, you taught me some things of how to get around people that will strengthen my faith. God, and I thank you for the people that are in my life. I thank you for my church who strengthens my faith. I thank you for my wife who strengthens my faith. And God, I thank you for your word and for your precious spirit. All right, Brother Ron, would you come up and close in prayer this morning? Thank you for being here this morning. And tonight our evening service is 6 o'clock. Look forward to having you here, and Brother Ron will close in prayer.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for everything you've done this morning. Thank you for those buses and bringing each and every one of us out here today, Lord. And I thank you for our preacher. Thank you for your word, Lord, that we can come and hear it preached. I pray you be with us now as we go. Bring us back safe tonight. And Lord, just watch over us. And let's pray for a great VBS this week. Bring out the kids. Be with the buses and the workers and everything that goes on this week, Lord. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.